Welcome to Sunday World Engage. My name is Mbalenhle Zuma and I'm an entertainment reporter. Today we are in Limpopo to interview an actor who has turned into a security guard. Well, gone back to his first love of being a security guard, Thabo, who famously was known in Skeem Saam drama series as the landlord of Big Boy and Lesholo Mabitsela. Stay tuned so we have a chat and a sit down with him so he can let us know what's going on in his life. Hello, Dr. Thabo, how are you?
I'm good in yourself.
I'm good. We recently learned about your story that you're no longer in the acting industry, you now work a 9 to 5.
Definitely.
Yes. So your role on Skeem Saam, which was the role of Big Boy's landlord, yes, was very memorable. What was the most rewarding part of playing that character, and how did it shape your perspective on acting?
I would say it was a very interesting part, by the way. Very, very interesting. Actually, I acted in a couple of soapies, but acting alongside the likes of Big Boy and Lesholo, those are best actors, if I want to say this. Big Boy was the best, and acting alongside that guy, yeah, it gave me that enthusiasm to say, if I watch myself, I can do this. Really, I can do this. Because you don't get show until you get that hectic actor. Somebody arrogant, somebody who can talk back, somebody who can, you know what I mean? Yeah, have that those ways that you don't see on the script, and you still need to talk back. So you must improvise when you act alongside those kind of guys.
And then recently you've spoken about the financial, many actors have spoken about the financial struggles that actors face in South Africa. What changes do you think the industry needs to implement to support artists to prevent situations that like the ones that you've experienced?
I would say, as an actor, you don't have UIF, you don't have Provident Fund, you don't have medical aid. Actually, the production doesn't provide any of those. I think if you can, they start by giving people maybe a 3-year contract, then they take the UIF, then they give you Provident Fund. So when you are acting on that particular story ends, they can, I can go to UIF and get something, I can claim from. But as an actor, that same month that they cut you off, you are off everything. You definitely are.
So it's
So they
just
definitely need to give people at least 2, 3, 4 years contract. You know what I mean? And something must be deducted from your salary.
Yes.
Definitely are.
Okay. And then now let's talk about your transition to security work. Moving from acting to working as a security guard must have been a significant shift, right? So how did you navigate that transition emotionally and practically?
Okay, let me start by saying I'm a people's person, honestly speaking. So I was involved in community building. Zebediela, I've got a company called Zebediela Media, which I did a lot of projects around at my own place. I was in Johannesburg, but I would come home every 2 weeks to teach people how to act, to teach people how to sing, to try and motivate the youngsters. So coming back home was like, oh my wait. When they cut it off, I come back home. I was happy. I was like, I'm gonna push. And I was lucky because I had a project called The Village of the Vengeance, which is on YouTube now. I was working with disabled people and albinism people. I taught them how to act in Johannesburg. I bring them home, book them a guest house for about 9 months, and shoot that series that was playing on Limpopo TV. Unfortunately, I was not paid for it. Hence, I couldn't pay them as well. So they lost courage in acting. And the other thing for me being home still is an advantage. Navigating from acting to security. Remember, when I started working in 1989, I was a security officer. I worked for Quayne Security. So 89 to 1998, I worked as a security guard. So that's where I obtained my qualifications as a security. I was a manager. I was in CIT. I was involved in all aspects of security, investigations and everything. Then I went into the casino industry, where I became the surveillance operator, doing investigations, monitoring tables and stuff. I worked at the Carousel. I worked at Gold Reef City. I retired in 2014 when my role in Skeem Saam became a bit stronger. You understand?
Yes.
Little did I know that it was.
Did they write your character off because of Big Boy passing away, or what?
I would think that way, because remember, these people don't communicate to anyone, eh? The only thing you know, as an call actor, they don't call you, then you know a year goes, the second year goes, and you call somebody, brah, what's happening? They say, ah, brah, I don't see anything. I don't see anything on
But
underneath.
for you, when Big Boy died, did you kind of like feel worried, Dougie? Are they gonna replace him, or is he completely gonna be out of the storyline?
I was hoping they'll replace him, because we had there was small,
There was
more
a
shoots coming.
storyline there,
There was a
yes.
good storyline. And I remember my storyline was revolving around Sesi Ouma, the husband, Malebana, and Victor. And they shifted. Sesi Ouma died. The husband to Sesi Ouma died. Like in real life, Big Boy passed, and then everybody was gone. And it means my set was gone. So I was a bit scared. But when they brought me back, I thought, no, they'll create something. But
Yeah,
then I had to
it is what it
navigate,
is.
because I got a child, I got a wife, I got children. And I thought, oh my, wait, I remember I've got security qualification. Let me just prove
I
that I'm
was
out.
about to ask Kuguti, how
Yeah.
did you go from acting to security? Little did we know that you started at security, so you
Yes.
went back to
Where I started.
your where you started.
I'm back in the foundation phase, actually. I feel like it's 1989, 1990. I'm starting everything from scratch. Yeah.
Okay. And then you faced like tough times. I think there was a mention of you losing your home and cars while selling your cars. What keeps you motivated to push forward, and how do you stay hopeful about rebuilding your life?
No, you know, when it comes to selling cars, you sell a car and you think, now nah, I'll replace it. And you sell the next one, you think this project will pass, and then you sell the next one. Okay, by the way, I want to correct the statement of the flat. I've never lost my flat. I've rented it out because I cannot afford it.
Oh, so you're making
So there are
money.
people, and I'm not making money. They're paying the bills. It's a flat. A flat, remember, you pay levy, which is
Yes.
about 4,000 sometimes. Electricity bills are high, water high, maintenance and everything. So excuse me, the flat is still there, but people stay there. And I've gave them a lease of years. So it's not going to end anytime soon. They stay in there as a family. It's like it's their flat until the lease is finished. Definitely. So the cars are gone. Yeah, the cars are all gone. There's only one car left, a Opel Corsa that is in my garage. I don't drive it for some spiritual reasons.
How
Because,
many cars did you have?
yo. I had like six cars.
What?
Seriously, I had six cars. Six cars.
And all of them are gone, just one left now.
Yeah, it took how many years? 2021, 22, 21, 22. Yeah, they were all gone. 2 years.
So during COVID times.
Come again?
During the COVID times.
Yeah, because we were not working. Oh, actually, I sold two cars to do the project with albinism and disability. So they gave me around two. I lost about 800,000 for that project, and I was not even paid a cent.
Did you approach the government?
I haven't approached anybody because nobody helps.
No,
Nobody helps.
before you shot, like.
Oh, NVFV, I applied everywhere. I even spoke to Nakedi Banda, who was the MEC for Sports, Arts and Culture. Personally, so.
And nothing. Okay, hopefully they will assist as time goes, but we can only remain hopeful in
Definitely,
this
yeah.
industry. Yes. And then are you still involved in writing and acting projects, and do you have any plans to return into the industry?
Let me say, yo, I don't want to say this, but I'm cooking something huge.
And what type of
Huge than
story,
anything
what
that
type
you've
of
ever seen.
stories do you like telling?
I'm a motivational speaker, and I tell people what I went through. Actually, my concern about life is to make sure that, you know, the country is falling apart. People are not working. There's a lot of crime, there's a lot of scams, there's a lot of nyaupe, but there's a lot of this and that. So we must try and regroup people. We must start loving our people. Because remember, love only can bring people back. So if we reject them, actually we're pushing them away, and they will keep on doing what they're doing, which is wrong. So I'm teaching the people to learn to love their siblings, regardless of their behavior, regardless of a drinking behavior, drugs behavior, maybe prostitute, and because some people do things for a reason. If you sit them down and ask them, they might give you something this big, and you'll see, oh yes, these people are going through something. They've got nobody to talk to, and they end up in something addictive,
yes,
and
drugs.
They can't make that U-turn, you understand?
Mm. So those are the type of stories that you want to tell.
And the other thing, I'm worried about how our country or our municipalities or our government treat the people with disabilities. I don't like to see somebody with a disability earning 2,300 or 2,200, which is earned by old people, which should end after 6 years. Let them be given permanent employment so that they can actually have houses, have cars, have a life. Because if they give you 2.3, it's like, what do you call that?
Nothing.
You know what I mean?
Mm.
And do you think that person will have confidence in their lives?
No.
You can't have confidence if you don't have money.
Mm.
I have confidence because I've got brains. You belittle me, I don't care. You, because you don't know what is in me.
Mm.
That's why I'll walk confidently and proudly everywhere, because you do not know what is inside. You know what I mean?
Mm. Okay. And then let's talk about your script writing skills. You mentioned that you wrote for a popular show that's on SABC 1. You were asked to write a script and you refused because you were not the writer of the show. How did that experience affect your view of the industry? And would you pursue script writing again?
No, let me put it this way. You know, this industry uses a lot of people. There are stories that I wrote that I saw on TV. I won't mention because I don't want to fight people. You write a story, you give it a title. You submit the whole script to a particular person to check the script, and you know what I mean? Then they will shoot it somewhere in KZN, in Zulu, and give it a different title and try and shift a bit of things. But you will see, this is my story.
This is my concept.
So you cannot approach the guys and say, this is my concept or whatnot, whatnot. It's fine. So now these days we do things under carpet. I do my story, I shoot my story, I write my own script. I've got like 20 scripts that I wrote that I'm shooting them one by one. But now I'm doing documentaries, things that people, stories that people never told.
So basically you're trying to say that in the industry, people take advantage of other people. They exploit.
A lot.
So that's why you feel like you're going to do those projects alone. You don't.
Let me say 99.9% of the stories that you see on TV, they are not authentically by those guys who produce them. Actually, somebody wrote a script 3-4 years ago, and that script landed in that guy's hands because you wanted help. Brah, can you check my script? And then he checked the script, he gave it to the senior guy. The senior guy said, okay, let's change this and put it like whatnot. You know what I mean? So, yes, I'm going to switch this off. You didn't call me while I'm talking. You understand? So that's where the problem is. I've been in the industry for a very long time, to an extent whereby I feel like this industry need to be regulated. Media industry is not regulated at all. We have no rights. You cannot complain about anything. Lawyers are expensive. If you need to query something, you need to pay a huge sum of money. Where do you get the money? And they cut you off. Once you start talking, you're off the hook. You understand? You're off the hook. You'll be on the street. You'll suffer.
But after your role on Skim Sam, did you go for auditions after? Like, are you still going for auditions even now?
No. I lost interest in acting for somebody, for a particular production. I'll show you now after this. I've got people invite me to come. House of Zide did, Scandal did, through my agency. Nada. I never answered. No, I'm cool. Nah, I'm cool. Because now the problem is they will call you and they'll give you a rate. Why don't they call me and ask me how much will you ask for? Let's negotiate. Call me. Sit down with me. This is how much we can offer you. Then let me tell you, I want this. They will make you shoot for 3-4 days before you even get your contract.
How?
Because you're already in Joburg. What will you do? They said, come and shoot tomorrow. You're already in Joburg. I mean, you can't say, oh, I'm not shooting. You shoot and then you finish and you go to the office. Hey guys, my contract say no. Hey, the financial manager, this, that, that. 3 days later, you're
so you
shot.
Start working before you even know what you're working for.
That's what they do.
It's a bit unfair.
Can you reverse? You can't.
No.
And if you fight, they write you off. Because that's the issue in this industry. You have no rights. You can't talk. You know Jack Demnery?
Yes.
South African Guild of Actors.
Yes, I know him.
Where is he in the industry? Because he stood up for the rights of the actors. Now, what do? They cut you off. That's how cruel this industry is.
It's a shame.
Yeah, this industry, it's a mess, I'm telling you. They cut you off today. 3 days later, I was bored. I mean, you don't have the next salary. But if they cut me off in security today, I'm still going to take my papers and go to UIF. I'll be paid for the next 6-7 months and my provident is coming.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Mm.
Much better.
And then you're a father.
Yes.
And a husband.
Yes.
How has your family been a source of strength for you during the challenging times? And what role did they play in your aspirations moving forward?
During those times when life was still nice and good, my wife was here. And when things started going down, she was there. And when they are on the floor, she was there. And she's still there. Yeah, she actually wanted to come for an interview. I'm sure you saw me standing with her. She came and said, Daddy, now? I said, no, it's fine. Let me handle this one. Yeah, but the good thing is that, guys, I migrated into music. I'm a gospel artist. And my single is coming out on Sunday.
Why did you migrate to gospel music?
Oh, my word. You don't know what God did in my life. You don't know. You know, when you are down, there's only one person left. I was in Alexander on the streets. When the sun goes down, you know, I'm not going to sleep in. You know how cold it is in Joburg? Very cold. But I lived there in that coldness. And I was collecting tins at night. Because I had tavern people that I know. Then I'll go there, collect a bag and collect bags and give to these boys and say, hey, tomorrow morning, scrapyard. They come back, hey, we've got 300, uncle, give me 100, take the 200. Because I can buy mini meal, I can buy minotwana, malana. And I survived. Almost, I survived.
So when you were in Joburg, you were alone or were you with your family?
I was with my wife.
Oh, okay. And the kids?
No, the kids are full-time home.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, so she supported you through it all. And then, given what God has done for you, you decided to go into gospel music.
My first song say, "Unkulije ke seselo ke le malabu labu ke sana bophelo you wampala rato ke a leboga modimo wa ka mogau o mokaka le lerato la gago." That's the song that will be out on Sunday. It talks about me.
Anyone who inspired you in the gospel industry to get into music?
I've been in the gospel music for a very long time. I have a demo. I have an album, but it's a demo. It's not a professional recorded album. It's there. I went to Mafeking. I went to Namibia. I was with Solly Mohulo like this. Sechaba. I'll send you some of the posters with me and Solly Mohulo and Sechaba and everybody. So I was singing gospel, but the inspiration behind this thing, you know, when you grow, I'm 53 now. When you get to 45, life changes. You start seeing the realities of life. You start not caring. You know, and now you're young. You can, I can't go with this hair. I need to do my hair. There's a wedding. Me, I will walk into a wedding with overalls and I don't worry. My kids will be nice. I've got big kids that can dress nice. So why should I worry? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you get to the reality of life. You don't look at life the way people. If you see me as ugly, I don't care. If you see me as stupid, I don't care. I know who I am. That's why I say now, nobody will shift me. Nobody will move. Nothing will ever move me. I know me from inside. I know me. I know me so much. And I know I'm clever than most of the people.
And then for the youngsters, or maybe, let me say, maybe your kids or someone in your family who wants to get into the acting industry, what advice would you give them?
My kids loved acting while I was still acting. They loved it so much. But I advised them, My firstborn is a lawyer. My secondborn is a boilermaker. My thirdborn is a mining engineer. The other three are still at school. So they know you go to university, have a career, then do acting as, you know what?
As a side.
A side hustle. It's something you're passionate about.
Mm.
Yeah. Not like me, because I left the job and I embarked.
Mm-hmm. It was so loud.
Yeah, then I have to go back to my roots.
Mm.
Yeah.
But then, like, how was that? Like, having to humble yourself and be like, okay, I know I might have made a mistake, but let me go back home.
No, I've
start
been,
afresh.
I've been home ever since. I had no role. I came back home. Because I was always home, actually. So when I was home, I started these projects. There's a lot of people that are sponsoring me. But they don't give me money. They give me, like, it's a butchery. They give me meat. I cook for these Nyaope boys. I was cooking for them every day. Soft porridge in the morning and supper in the evening. I was enjoying it. And they'll come every tea. I say, hey, Zwagalad. Give them place. They eat. They finish. Watch them. Go and sleep wherever you sleep. Because it's something. I love it when somebody feels loved. You understand what I mean? I know that when, you know, the way my wife loved me when I was down, when I was feeling like I'm not a man anymore. And she kept on loving me. She even fell pregnant. And we had nothing. I was like, oh, you're pregnant? No, 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 no.
And
we are on the street here. You understand?
Yes.
How can you? And then she said, no, don't worry.
We'll be fine.
We shall be fine. And that's when we decided, let me go look for my security papers.
Yeah.
And I looked for work and
you got
here
it.
Am I. And then we sorted. We afford everything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. We can buy that grocery. We live a normal life.
Mm.
It's good. I walk to work. I don't know. My kids walk to school. Oh, life is good.
Okay. Then you've been open about hitting rock bottom and even collecting cans to survive, as you've just mentioned. How has sharing your story publicly impacted you? And what do you hope people take away from your story?
No, people should learn. As long as you have life, you have everything. The most important thing is to be alive.
Mm-hmm.
I have 2 hands, 2 feet. I'm still in 1 piece. Is that not love? God loved me so much. So many people. I was driving to Joburg for 35 years. I was driving every 2 weeks. So how many accidents have I escaped? I was involved in 3 fatal accidents. Here am I. Is it not grace?
It is.
So you must know that as long as you have life,
mm-hmm.
make sure you find yourself. Who are you? And what is it that can make you live? Hold on to it. Don't listen to whoever says what. Because nobody will come and give you 10 rand. Nyangaswela a rand. You know 1 rand? Give me 1 rand. I don't have it. Everybody doesn't have. But now, hebrati, I'm too many to clip. I don't have as well. I don't have.
But then, like, in your community here, where you stay, how did they react to you, like, now coming back, stopping acting and going back to a normal 9-to-5 job? Because you know how our communities are, how we are as black people. Siyahleba.
Yebo.
And some don't even want to face you and ask what happened.
Yes.
Yes. So how was that?
No, they do. They do so much. And there's one good thing. That is why I say I thank God for life. You know, when you talk about me, if I don't hear you, you're scared of me. I don't care. You're like a barking dog. But if you approach me and say, brah, what happened? I'll tell you that, please, this is life. And sometimes I'll tell them that, okay, me and my kids are old. They're working. They're driving. So I can even sit at home. I'll still survive.
And not do anything.
You understand? I can even sit at home now. I know I'll have everything in the house. But because I'm a responsible father, I learned one thing. If you're not working, you're straining your body. Because you get used to waking up at 10 and sleeping. You know what I mean? Then you get older quicker.
Yeah, and sickness.
But if you work, wake up at 4, take a bath. You know what I mean? Come to work, talk to people, get ideas. You know, people mock you and you love it and you're like, oh, brah, come on. How can you say something like that? And life is going on. Your mind stays fresh. Your body stays fresh. And your life is, you know, you're given more years because your body is active. But if you sit, it's a problem.
So how do you react to people like where you currently work when they see you? Like, do they ask for pictures? Do they...
A lot of them do. They recognize you? Especially now.
Yes.
Yeah, especially now. Yeah, we didn't realize. Hey, bro, can't you going through something like this? I'm like, no, I'm not going through anything. Those papers are... You know paper people. You know journalists, bro. Don't worry, man. I'm fine.
You don't want people to feel sad for you or feel sorry for you. You don't want
even my kids call. Daddy, did you see the newspaper? I saw it, my girl, and it bothers me not. Can I do something? She's a lawyer. Can I do something? No, you don't have to do anything. So daddy, I'm like, no, I don't care what people say. Do you care? People will talk. You good, they'll talk. Bad, they'll talk. So don't worry. Whoever approaches you, cut them a nice slice of cake and tell them that, listen, in life, there's, if you drive to Joburg, it's not flat. You'll go up, you'll go down, you'll get a level. If your car is not good enough, you'll go to gear number 4 and number 3 and number 2, and it starts, you know. But because my car is strong, I'm going. So this is my step here now. Don't worry. I'll get to the what you call, you know.
The finish line. So right now, what projects are you busy with besides you releasing a single this coming Sunday? But what are you busy with?
I'm busy with a documentary that I won't tell anybody about it. It's a beautiful documentary. It's a story that has never been told. Because, you know, I met this other guy at Limpopo. You know when people try to take you down? Because the guy wanted to take me down. You can't take my story and do not pay. But in the process of him, you know when people use you, in the process of using you, you meet a destiny help. So I met this guy who had wonderful documentaries. So we started with one. It's short. They're busy editing it. You'll see it on my Facebook page. It's coming. You'll see the trailer. I'm submitting to ETV. They close on the 2nd. I send them stuff and they said, hey, brah, when you're done, just send it. Let's see what we can do. And I know there's Netflix now. We've got Showmax. We have outside channels.
So if you have
Wi-Fi, you're sorted. So I know that stories can travel up to Australia. And South Africa will just see their story there.
Okay.
And when they ask, I'll tell them that you said this and this one said this.
But now do you feel like you are at an advantage? Because if you're going into music, you're technically going back into the entertainment industry. Do you feel like now you're in an advantage because your daughter is a lawyer? Maybe she can give you legal advice and, you know, all of that. Or her friends who deal with whatever is dealt with in the industry can help you.
Yeah, definitely. Now I've taken music as... You know why I do music, I want to tell you. It's not something that I call a living. I call it a calling. Because you must listen to my track on Sunday. And after listening to it, give me a call. And tell me how you feel after that song. It's just that I switched my phone off now, but I'll make you listen to it as we are done. The song is me. The song is what I went through. The song is the things that happen. These things are happening to everybody. But they don't find God. Finding God is not accepting Jesus. It's understanding life. Understanding yourself. Asking yourself, why am I living? What is my purpose on earth? Find yourself. Love yourself before you can... You know, what you give is what?
You get.
You have inside. You cannot give something that you don't have. I can't give you money if I don't have. Can I? No. Love yourself first. Take care of yourself first. Find yourself first. Know who you are first. Then you will, you know what I mean?
Give that out to other people.
But if you don't know yourself, but I was as well. I mean, you are actually lost. Because you're saying this and you're living that. Live your dream. Be who you want to be. It doesn't matter, I wear security uniform in that particular bank. But when a customer approaches me and when I speak to them, they tell me from that point that, brah, you don't belong here. There's no customer that ever. Actually, white people. You know, white people don't have jealousy. Bruh, are you really a security officer? I'm like, yes. No, bruh, I've never in my entire life met a security officer who's so fluent, who understand life, who actually... I would read people's mind because I'm a writer, you know what I mean? He would come and he want to ask me about something. I say, no, here it is. I found it and here it is. How did you know? No, I looked at you and I would see you looking for something and I know you left it carelessly there and here it is. And boom, they're like, you don't belong here. But I won't be there forever, I know. It's I call it 1989 to me, where I was building my foundation. So I'm busy with my foundation. Yeah, don't see flames.
So I'm not sure if you've seen, but you did mention, just to close it off, you did mention that there's no money, there's no UIF, there's no medical aid and all of that. So once it's done, it's done. Like, we've seen so many actors crying about the same thing, basically. You guys probably have the same grievances, most actors, the ones that choose to speak out about it. But then there are those that are scared to speak out because they're scared of
being cut out. Yes.
Like, how do you guys navigate that? And also, do you guys, as the older generation, do you guys speak to each other in the industry?
Let me tell you, that industry is the most cruel industry. That's a divide and rule industry. Né? How do producers work? They work like this. You are a call actor. He is a seasonal actor.
Mm-hmm.
He is the face of that particular soap.
Mm-hmm.
When he walks on set, he might not even greet you.
Mm-hmm.
He feels like he you nothing. You know what I mean? And there's no way you will sit with them and talk the same language. Because this one, if he sits with the producer tells him that, no, you've got 5 more years, don't worry, your storyline is huge. But in this industry, they fire. They'll fire that producer and a year later, you don't have a work.
And what happens? Came with that
and they're jealous. Ne? If you can do projects on the side, now you're a target. Because I can't they take your name and put it there.
Mm-hmm.
And now you are known. And you are using that to elevate yourself. They don't want that. They do not want that. You must be their puppy for life.
Okay. So if you're doing things on the side, you must be discreet about it.
You can't be discreet. What things will you do on a side discreet?
They'll find out about it.
I'll record music. I go and perform. They call me. They say, okay, we're calling Ananias from, you know, that show to come and grace us with a motivational speaking. Aha! They want to pull people and they use the show's name. And then what happens? The show will pick it up like, oh, he's using our name. You're not using their name. The poster was not made by you. It was made by the event organizers. You see? Then because of that, so they want to gradually, that name should fade and you must be nothing.
Okay, that's very tough. But just to close it off, I just because you're saying you're okay, you're fine. I just want you to tell anyone at home who might be concerned about you, to tell them that you're okay, you're living fine. It's not like you're down and out. Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah.
All right, viewers at home, this is Dr. Brett. Take a la fatala, mam khadechali. We're not a fatala, we fell a la fatala, well, let's take a Dr. Brett. The single is coming out this Sunday. What date is it?
The 11th.
It's the 11th. My single is coming out. Kamuhau. Okay, listen, guys. Don't be too much of yourself. Don't try and impress people. Don't try and do things for people that you don't have.
Mm-hmm.
Never, ever go out of your way to polish somebody's shoes while you don't have a polish. How can you buy somebody bread if you don't have? If you don't have bread, do not buy other people bread. Do not live the life of other people. Live your life, live with your people, your siblings, love everybody, and put yourself always in other people's shoes. God will prosper you. I'm Dr. Brett, a security officer, proudly so. That's where I started. I'm studying again. The flight is about to leave. But again, to really go, vroom, the flight. There's a game, the flight, that chows me every time on this gambling thing. What do they call it?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's a plane, but they call it, it's got a name. I forgot it.
Ipanoi.
No, Ipanoi, I know, but they play it on you know, Woody Hollywood.
Yes.
Then you play and then it will ring, come on, and you're like, shit, engine. You know what? That thing is about to leave. And let me tell you something. Do not rely on other people. Rely on yourself. Go and work for your money to prosper yourself.
Mm.
Never rely on funding. You see the country now. We have how many political parties? 100, 200, or 300. Maybe by next day we'll be in 500 political parties. But we started off with only one party. And this tells you that everybody wants a piece of this cake.
Mm.
When are we going to get ourselves right? Never. So get yourself right. Personally, I got myself. I'm doing things for myself, for my family. That's it. Enjoy your day. I love you so much. And remember one thing. I want one person who loves me so much. I want to remove Katre. To the 15,000.
Oh, so you have a problem with your eyes.
I have Katre. I've got, my one eye does not see.
Mm.
And I need somebody who can, maybe help a doctor you. Who does eyes. Mm. Then he can, let's remove this Katre.
Have you had seeked medical help yet?
I have medical aid, but it cannot cover that. It's too much.
Mm.
It's 15K. Private hospital, you go to public hospital, they'll tell you we'll do it in 2029. Because Boma Gogo's queue is like this.
Mm.
Everybody's got eyes problem. Have you realized? Mm. When you age, eyes is a problem. So, yeah. That's the only problem I have.
Oh, so you're seeking to raise funds to
nobody must give me money. Pay the doctor and tell me which doctor must I go to.
Okay.
You don't give me money. I'm working. I work for my money. Just get the doctor. If you're a doctor, tell me. Come to my surgery. Let me do the cataract. That's all. Okay. I want to see. I want to drive back. Because I parked my car. I can't drive now.
Mm.
Because if I would drive to work and when I go home, it's dark.
Mm.
And now people have got lights on and my car is a Corsa. You know, it doesn't light that much. So there's this beautiful new cars that light like you feel like, hey, let me park on the side, let this car pass, and you back on the road and somebody comes. So when are you gonna get home?
Mm.
That's where the problem is. I've got eyes problem. That's the only problem I have.
All right. Thank you so much. I hope someone out there will assist you with your eye problem so you can drive your car.
You don't chant my name like that and you don't give me money. I want money, bro.
Thank you so much.
Many. Okay, no, thank you so much. And South Africa should learn two things. It's you and your family. There's nobody or nothing else. Yourself, your family.
Mm.
Never ever hate your family. It's your cousin, it's your wife. They hate you, they do what they mock, they did. Never ever hate them. Because remember, when you hate other people, and you want God to love you. How will God love you if you hate other people?
Mm.
People must start cutting the hate and cutting lento ye jealousy and cutting bamba e kuku. Because when we pray, we say, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us.
Mm.
But you don't forgive. And then you want to be forgiven.
Mm.
Vice versa. We are born a lento. Ufunu piwa, ufunu kuniga. What is that?
No. Thank you so much for your time.
Yabonga. Yes.
We hope to see you performing at events now because you're a performer now. You do gospel music.
I already have events.
Oh.
Oh, my word.
Can't wait to see you. I already have events.
Yeah. So, yeah, definitely. Yeah. End of next month. This month, I'm shooting a music video for free.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody offered to shoot me a music video for free. It's a friend of mine that I used to work with. So, it's got nothing to do. Like, bruh, I still have equipment. Mm. Let's just do this.
Mm.
So, we're doing a music video, submitting to, you know what I mean, all the channels. So, I believe God will bless this one.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you so much to our viewers at home. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and follow for more. Thank you so much.